Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Okay, hi, Doc.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to dive right into this because the last time we spoke, were you pregnant?
Probably. It feels like I was pregnant for like 6 years.
I think you were like peak pregnant.
Yeah.
Doing what so many women do and continue to work. Mm-hmm. How is, as a functional medicine doctor who will tell all of her patients to manage stress, you are a doctor and a founder of a company that's arguably changing the healthcare system in our country. So how do you manage that? How do you balance it all?
What does my husband say? Why don't you trade your stresses for dresses when I'm like super stressed out?
That's really cute.
And he sees that I'm engaged in one of my less productive stress management tactics, which is online shopping.
Amazing.
So how do I, I feel like I have three kids now, which is crazy, mm-hmm. crazy times. The youngest one just turned 2. And that means my house is abject chaos at all times.
How old are the older two?
6.5 and 3.5.
Oh God.
That's everyone's reaction.
So, I would like to have three kids and I only have one. So I can't imagine having the three. Are they in school? How do you schedule everything?
It's honestly, the older they get, the more complicated it becomes because my oldest is in first grade. So he's like got a real schedule and we have to like race out the door in the morning. Then he's got school till 3. Then he goes to after school program. Then a pickup sitter picks him up in the city and brings him out to Brooklyn. Then we've got our nanny. Then we've got preschool for the other two. My littlest just started 3 mornings a week. But I hear from people with older kids that the logistics just get crazier and crazier because they start having like real activities and sports and stuff. And today he said to me, Mama, why have I not had a sleepover? And I'm like, I don't know. You're 6. Like sleepover with your friends is like not, I'm like, that's like marked in my mind at like 12 for some reason.
I'm also anti sleepover since I got TikTok.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's like, I entered some realm of like, I'm a detective or I'm a cop or I'm this. And here's the 3 things I'll never let my kids do. And everyone says sleepovers. It's like, that's such a part of being a child.
I know, but wait, why? Just all sorts of things.
There's uncles and neighbors and friends of older brothers and you just really have to know who's going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad though, that like to live in a world where
I know,
I feel like this too, as a mom and everything I see online and on social, there's some meme going around, targeting us moms. You've probably seen this. Maybe you've seen this where it's like, don't put your kid's name on the outside of their backpack because that's how like kidnappers target them. And you're just like, and with everything happening in the world, have 15 more reasons to be scared and be stressed.
I know it adds a level. I have so many mom friends who have severe anxiety, who like one of my mom's friends was telling me the other day that a mom in her kid's class puts an air tag on their kid. She was like, I hate to admit this, but like I air tagged my child. And I was like, that's like a level of paranoia. That seems like postpartum to me. You know what I mean? That's like where I think that's like a real interesting, we're so quick. And this is a perfect segue into like the survey that you just did for Parallel. We're so quick to like disregarding women. Mm. But like, to me, that level of anxiety and like certain other behaviors she was describing, I was like, this is a woman who's not in a good mental place.
Right.
I was like, that's not like a healthy way to live.
But I think it's also as everything becomes more connected and you feel like you can't be away from your phone for 5 seconds and you bring your phone with you into the bathroom, you know, in all sorts of places that it shouldn't be. I like get that. I mean, my husband put an AirTag in our stroller.
Well, then a friend of mine posts on Instagram that someone slipped an AirTag into her stroller.
Wow. Yeah.
Because now you get a notification that the AirTag is by you.
Right.
And they do that in case people slip on an AirTag. I know. I don't live my life in that way. I can't. Yeah, I don't have the bandwidth for it. Like, I just am very, I'm always like, I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Maybe I'm a little bit of a, but there has to be some sort of level of, I don't know, like I won't survive otherwise.
I agree. And you also have to like box things in. Like we spent some time in upstate New York, like outside the city and, you know, upstate New England's big Lyme territory. And in the world of health and medicine and functional health, especially like what Lyme is a big topic. There's a lot of people who are told they don't have Lyme when they really do. There's people who sometimes think they have Lyme and really don't, right? It's a complicated topic, but I know a lot of people upstate who like essentially live their lives in fear of going outside. And I'm like, what's the point? And so I'm always just like, I'm living my life. I'm living outside. I'm checking for ticks, but I'm not going to live in a way that makes me like afraid to leave my house.
No, you can't.
Upstate. You can't. Like, what's the point of living at that point? You know?
Well, you just bought a house to enjoy. This is also everything just comes back to TikTok because someone else I follow on TikTok was like on a tick bite on her neck, went to urgent care, and then talked through the process of taking the medicine to prevent yourself from getting Lyme. Which I didn't know that was a thing. I was like, this is very helpful.
Yeah. I mean, how well that works.
That was going to be my next question.
Next podcast.
That was going to be my next question to you. I was like, I don't know if that works. So I want to talk about this survey that you did. You must have access. I mean, not must. I can't imagine how much information you have. But this was 1,200 women. What were the ages?
18 to 60.
And tell me what exactly you asked everybody.
So, you know, at Parsley, which is my medical practice, for those of you who don't know me and the company that I founded, we see tens of thousands of patients. We see men, we see women, we see anybody, regardless of how you identify. We see young, we see old. But the thing is, the majority of our patients, about 3/4 are women. And we are a practice that takes care of people with chronic conditions and helps them heal from those conditions, diagnose those conditions. We also help people optimize their health. We address hormones, heart health, blood sugar, mental health, a lot of reproductive health and fertility and postpartum and menopause, a lot of GI issues, migraines, you name it, we got it. But when we looked at our female population, we said, you know, okay, women, we know in the world, like or in the United States, I'll limit this to the US right now, spend $85 billion a year on healthcare. They spend 2 times more than their male counterparts. And only about 1/4 of that is attributed to pregnancy. And so as we looked at everything going on with women and the health issues women are facing, we know that men and women face different health issues. We know that a lot of the research has been done in men and not women. And so all of those stats sort of, and our experience of providing care for these folks said, okay, let's just ask them. So we commissioned a survey of 1,200 women in the workforce, or of working age rather. Mm-hmm. And we did that because we know that women of working age are often caretakers to 2 generations or at least one. Mm-hmm. We know that women drive 80% of healthcare spending and are the CEOs of our communities and our health and our homes. Mm-hmm. And we decided to ask them, like, what is going on with you and how are you experiencing your health? And the results that we got out of it were really, really, I think, astounding. And I think some of the most, you know, interesting couple stats are that 80% of women are delaying care, meaning not going to the doctor when they need help. And that for those who have symptoms, they about two-thirds don't actually know, feel like they have a clear diagnosis. Mm-hmm. They don't know why they have symptoms. And that many women are really discouraged by their experience with the healthcare system, feeling like they're not getting answers, not heard. Maybe it's like not even worth going. They're like giving up. That was really
It feels not worth going. Right. I mean, truly before, and I have so much privilege. So that's the reason why I know more about my health than the average person. But, you know, when I was working like a normal job making, you know, between $35,000 and $50,000 a year, I remember going to the doctor at one point and I said, I'm really tired and I'm very bloated. My stomach is really distended. I'm really uncomfortable. And she told me to eat fucking prunes. And I left that office and I remember stopping to get gas and I called my mom and I cried because I said, there's something wrong with me. And this was a woman. And it was a new doctor I was seeing. And I was so excited to finally get to the bottom of something because I literally was saying to her, there's something wrong with me. And she told me to eat prunes. And I had this moment where I cried to my mom and I said, not for myself. I said, we're in a broken system and I have the privilege of going to a very nice doctor in my city. So it hit me more thinking like what the average American is dealing with, people who have real serious, because I was like, I clearly have like a GI issue or a hormone imbalance, which many women suffer from. But I was like, imagine if I had symptoms of cancer or a chronic disease or something, like I couldn't imagine how lost I would feel.
Yeah. And that is the way that our healthcare system has been set up. And people always ask me like, why is it this way? And I'm like, you know, it's just a zillion factors sort of added up over time. It's not because doctors are bad people who don't care. It's not because, you know, anyone's evil. It's because our system's incentives and the way it's designed and the way it's been come designed over decades and decades is such that our medical providers are not incentivized to figure out the why. Or to do the what I call the investigative journalism of medicine, which is to say, you're bloated and you're exhausted. What's the connection between those two things? That, I mean, my mind immediately, I'm like, we have thyroid, we have depression, we have autoimmune disease, we have nutrient deficiencies, we have cancer, we have, I mean, I could list you seven things right now that could be either causing or contributing to you those symptoms. And it shouldn't be a luxury. Sadly, it has been. Parsley is trying to change that, is changing that. But it shouldn't be a luxury to have a doctor who will spend time with you, who will connect the dots across what's going on in your body, and who's covered by insurance. That should just be what we have.
I'm in this process right now because I was feeling so good. And since May, I've gained 20 pounds. My stomach is so distended. I'm inflamed. My hands hurt. They're swollen. I've gotten acne. I'm very tired. I got a blood glucose monitor thinking, oh, I'm eating something and my blood sugar's spiking, and figuring I was going to see a bunch of spikes on the food that I eat. I get alerts that my blood sugar is low after I eat, alerts at how low my blood sugar is. And I haven't done anything about it in the last 3-4 weeks because I'm like, where do I fucking start? Right. You know, I was like, I like reached out to a friend of mine who's a functional, because I was like, can I just get like a quick blood? Like, can we just like do this quick, like just using my privilege and my connections to get like a quick solution? And with my discount, he was like, it was like a $5,000 scenario. And I was like, I'm not going to, I was like, I'll just find. And then that's also part of the reason why I emailed you. Cause I said, I need to just sign up for Parsley and start my process with Parsley.
We're here to help. It will not cost you $5,000. Yeah. I mean, you know, but what you just said, I think is really interesting, right? Like you have a lot of knowledge and you talk to people like me for, you know, your day job, and you like have really explored this and you're really motivated. And even for you, it's really hard to navigate our healthcare system. It's really hard to know who to turn to. It's really hard to figure out, like, do I have one place I can go to figure this out in like an economical way? Mm-hmm. And so no wonder that the average parent, mother, working age person who's got their job, they may even have a lot of symptoms. Like we hear from a lot of our patients, because we treat a lot of autoimmune and gastrointestinal disease, heart disease, all those types of things. We hear from a lot of people like, my health is my second full-time job.
Oh, wow.
And people most people say, forget that. I don't want to feel that way. But then as a result, they delay care. And sometimes the results of delaying care are pretty disastrous. So we need a care system that's much more accessible and approachable and navigable and makes you feel good and makes you feel heard. Because when people delay care, that's when bad stuff gets bad.
You have some pretty, I'm like trying not to get emotional. 3 out of 10 women are facing poor health and missing work every 60 days.
43% of women surveyed said they'd missed a day of work in the past 60 days for a health reason. And a lot of the top reasons were things like migraines, fatigue, and general malaise, which is another word for what I call FLC, feel like crap syndrome, which is basically, I've got something going on, but I don't really know what it is, right? It's sort of, there's probably multiple things going on. And as a doc, I can tell you that like, with my patients, it's never one thing. I have yet to see the patient where it's one thing. Like, we as human beings are not organs and jars. Like, your heart's in a jar here and your brain's in a jar here and your GI tract's in a jar over there and your uterus is in a different jar on a different shelf. Like, we are an ecosystem. And so if something's going on with your hormones, it impacts your blood sugar impacts your hormones, right? Your stress levels impact how you metabolize your testosterone to your estrogens. Actually, your stress, if you're chronically stressed, increases the velocity of the enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen, which can result in a lot of worsening PMS symptoms, breast tenderness, heavy periods.
But my boobs have been hurting and I'm not pregnant.
Something is impairing how you're metabolizing your hormones, because we make hormones every day in our bodies and we break them down every day in our bodies, right? Our hormones are not like a static thing. Stress, foods, gut microbiome, all of these things can impact how we break down those hormones. And when we don't break them down very well, or we are breaking them down, but they go down a different kind of chutes in the game of chutes and ladders of metabolism, sometimes you have different kind of effects or symptoms from that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This podcast was brought to you by BetterHelp. Do you ever feel like your brain is getting in its own way? I'm going to assume a hard yes on that one, because I think that's pretty standard for all of us. We kind of know what we need to do. We feel in our guts what we need to do. And then there's just so much noise in our head and second guessing. And like, that's where like all the anxiety and the lack of sleep and all that stuff comes from, right? And so when I really hit those moments in my life, I know that I need to access the tools that I have in my toolbox. And sometimes that feels impossible. And that's really what therapy does. That's what it is. It's something that can help guide you to get to where you need to be. Because somebody who has an objective view, somebody who has the wherewithal, can help you access your intuition and not let your brain drive you crazy. And if you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge, which just blows my mind, because when I was growing up, I had to drive an hour to and from therapy. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Pia and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Pia.
And just like that,
your favorite besties
and tastemakers,
Benito Skinner
and Mary Beth Barone,
are back.
Did you miss us?
You know they did.
Join us every Wednesday on your way to Sephora to hear our witty, ridiculous, and irreverent musings on life, the universe, existence, and of course, what we currently ride for.
You're going to absolutely live slash die for this podcast. You might even, dare we say,
ride for it.
It's funny how you see right away how you're just like, oh yeah, that's something that I feel, but it's like, it's not normal. You know, it's like so many people just learn to live with, by the way, were these 1200 women random or these people that you work that are patients at Parsley?
None of them. This was not a Parsley member population. We actually commissioned a third party to go out and formally do like a proper, you know, properly executed research study where the questions are developed to not be leading or biased anyway. It wasn't a marketing effort in any way. It was really around just better understanding the population that we're already serving, mm-hmm. and better having some data that would allow us to deliver better care for them, better address their needs, but also, you know, something that we can share with the wider healthcare ecosystem that we're involved in all the time so that, you know, this could be better known, because I think women understand this maybe intuitively, but it hasn't sort of been said, you know, where what other industry is the core customer driving 80% of spend? Like what other consumer industry, right, would not design everything and completely anything around that core customer?
Yeah, totally.
It's like your iPhone or your salad or your vitamin. Mm-hmm. But healthcare is largely designed for men and by men, and women just use it. And I think the statistics about women spending 2x the healthcare dollars and women spending $85 billion a year and women being 70% of those with chronic conditions in the workforce age. So women are disproportionately impacted by these conditions. But we can look at those stats all day. At the end of the day, statistics by definition like that are retroactive, right? We're looking into the past. And I find too often we don't just like ask the people impacted by something.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel? Like, what's going on with you? And so that's what we tried to do.
The healthcare, I mean, the insurance companies really are the reason why this is all so fucked, huh? I mean, it's like, it seems like there's just, they have like a monopoly on healthcare.
You know, so in our country, about 50% of people, this are rough numbers, this is not exact everyone. So if you're like a healthcare stats aficionado and you're going to get me, that's fine. But roughly half of people are insured by Medicare and Medicaid, so the government.
Yeah.
And actually, in many ways, the incentives for the government are in some ways worse because it's run by the government and all of the political, you know, machinations that go with that. In other ways, the silver lining of that is that they're going to have those types of, they're going to have people for a long time, typically. Mm. And so the government programs have been more incentivized to say, how do we help people get healthier over time? The other half of the country is if they're insured, if they're lucky enough to be insured, are largely insured through their employer. That's called commercial. And the average person stays on their health plan today. And this is actually so interesting about just how people live today, for 18 months to 2 years only. That's how fast people switch jobs. And every time you switch jobs, right, your healthcare doesn't go with you. Whoa. And so that's the average. And so the commercial insurers, who many people in the workforce, not everybody, have, they're not really incentivized to care if you're healthier 18 months
from
now.
Because you're just a short-term, wow.
Which is not their fault, right? They didn't create that phenomenon. I was actually on the phone today with one of our advisors, who's this amazing woman. She's awesome. Who's the CEO of a health insurance company. And she was explaining to me that all of their costs are going up. So their premiums are going to go up 10%, and it's going to hit the employers and then it's going to hit the individuals. But she was explaining sort of why that's happening. And I think it's good. I share that because I think it's actually important that we back out. And I don't know if this is helpful or hurtful, but it's not that the insurance companies are evil or the government's bad or doctors are mean. It's that the whole system is one thing.
Yeah.
And it's all broken. Like the whole thing is collectively broken. So she's explaining how the hospitals have all renegotiated, so their costs went up. And so it becomes this cycle where I don't think it's like one party is bad. I think it's actually the system at large.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it clearly is like a trickle down.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's just.
So what do we do about it though? And I always like, that's stressful to think about. Cause it's like, it's, I mean, it's a $4 trillion industry. How do I impact that? But another health plan president I was talking to recently, I asked him, I said, you know, you're the president of this health, a big health insurance company. Like you're trying to do all this stuff. What's the one thing, if you could wave a magic wand, that would make like your life easier, like make your business work better? And he said, healthier patients. And there is a world in which we are all aligned. We as people being healthier, healthier patients obviously cost less to your health insurance or to the government. And so I think if we can kind of like anchor on that, then the question becomes, how do we empower people? How do we care for people in new ways that make them healthier? Because then we start to align the disparate parties mm-hmm. that sometimes seem very misaligned, but I think deep down they maybe are more aligned than we think.
So what do you think are those solutions? You know, I mean, I would say like me not knowing anything, I would say first and foremost would be like a full blood panel, which like normal doctors don't really do, but that's what you guys do kind of right away, right? Like that's something that makes you a big outlier.
Yeah. You know, I've had to explain our testing to a lot of health insurers. So now that we're working with health insurance companies, Parsley, we're in network for about 10 million people in New York and California and working our tails off to make that 100 million people, not 10 million people and then beyond. But when we're in these conversations, they ask about the testing and they always say, you know, I talked to a really big health insurance company recently, and they said, you know, we don't want to do too much testing and we really don't want to drive up costs by doing unnecessary testing. And one approach for my response to that, being like little me with my little company, could have been like, yeah, you're right. We're really going to work with you to get the testing down. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to like really say what I believe here, which I know to be true, which is, you know, we do more testing than the average doctor. And that allows us to connect the dots across the body, because sometimes what's happening in your gut is why you have brain fog or weight gain or a skin rash. And by doing that little bit of extra testing, enabling us to ask the right questions and get the right answers, we have shown through our independently validated data that we're helping save tens of thousands of dollars in these patients.
Yeah.
And so the willingness to say, I know that's like the party line, don't test, don't test. Like when I was in my medical training, people that we were taught at the hospital, like, don't do extra tests. And you're like, diseases like diabetes and heart disease and hormone issues, by the time they show up in your body not working,
pretty far along, huh?
Way too late. Yeah. Like my view is that these blood tests should be free. They're very cheap for the labs to do. So what the labs are billing for them is through the roof, over and above what they actually cost. Sorry, labs. And making this testing available to people. The nice thing with Parsley is that, you know, we'll order the tests and we will run them through your insurance, because there are a lot of services out there that will do testing, but a lot of it's then cash pay, which, you know, a lot of this blood work, like a doctor can order, you just need a doctor who's willing to order it.
Yeah. Do you think that's something, if somebody's with a doctor and doesn't want to transfer over, that's something that people should just really advocate for, right? Is just like getting like a full blood panel.
Yep. Yep. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, have you had tests that you feel like have been really powerful for your health journey?
Yeah. I mean, I got a blood test years ago when I first started. You know, everyone's story is the same, right? It's like, I was sick every year. I was chronically this. I used to get pneumonia every winter. I would get walking pneumonia. It was so normal for me. I would cough so much that I would throw up, and that was on average, that was so normal. It was crazy. And I ended up getting a blood test from this like hippy dippy doctor who basically told me I'd had like mono for 10 years and that like my gut was all, you know, it was like a few little things. And this is like way woo woo, but normal for me. But he started giving me like a lot of vitamin drips, and he really like shifted what I was eating. And in his office, he even had like poultry he would sell. And like, he would be like, this is the meat you should be eating. Like, this is bison. It comes from this farm. He's like, this great Amish family raises that these cows are happy. They eat real grass. That he was like, this is what you should be eating the week before and during your period. He was like this, you know, he's just really like trying to explain to me like how I could
help my body with what I was eating. And then, you know, I was working with Dr. Lekos for a long time, who really, you know, when you go through the results with him, it's like an hour and it's line by line. And it's this means this and this means this. And I was really low in iron and he was able to kind of get me like, you know, like a few things. But, you know, and then finding out that I had PCOS obviously allowed me to figure out. But I mean, this low, the low blood sugar, what does that mean?
How low is low?
I got a warning about it yesterday.
Like 70s or like 40s? Because 40s, we're going to the hospital in like seven, you know.
Oh, it hit 40. I got a notification that it
hit 40.
Did
you feel at that moment, were you shaky, sweaty, dizzy? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You really were?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's just my hypoglycemia. Like I need to eat something.
Yeah. I mean,
That's
happening often. I'm like, oh girl, we got to get you signed up.
It goes like the highest it's been. It's like, oh, it's like right above, it's like right around 70 constantly.
Okay. Like that's okay. If you're hitting lows and you're symptomatic. So for anyone listening to this, blood sugar crashes where you're feeling shaky, sweaty, nauseous, whatever. If that's happening frequently, you know, you do want to see a doctor and you do want to get checked out because you're symptomatic from it. Having a blood sugar in 70s is totally fine and you feel fine, then, you know, and so the reason I asked if you were symptomatic is that the continuous glucose monitors today are good.
Yeah. I'm also wondering like what the accuracy of this thing.
They're not like great and they can be inaccurate. You know what I mean? And so sometimes people will see a crazy reading and be like, what? This doesn't make any sense.
That somebody feels fine.
And they feel fine. And I'm like, I think it's just an inaccurate reading. But if you're really feeling shaky, I mean, and you're having some of the symptoms you're describing, like we should just be looking at your pancreatic function and looking deeper than just a blood sugar and an insulin level to understand what's going on there.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You guys have heard me talk about Parallel for years because it is a mainstay in my vitamin routine. It's the first and only OBGYN-founded vitamin offering targeted daily vitamin packs for various stages of a woman's hormonal life, from supporting your menstrual cycle to trying to get pregnant, into pregnancy through postpartum, and into early motherhood. They have all your bases covered. They work with an exclusive team of world-class doctors and leading experts to review all of their product formulas. And I just want to say, like, I admire the founders and their goal for this company so intensely. Women don't know anything about their bodies. We are not provided with the education and the information that we need to feel our best. And oftentimes we don't feel good and we suffer. And we should know what's going on with our cycles, and we should have the vitamins and the nutrients to support that. And that is also why I love Parallel so much, because they just keep launching products that solve huge problems. Like their latest one is called the Cycle Support Pack, and it is an absolute game changer. Most menstrual products only offer targeted symptom relief for your period, but Parallel's Cycle Support Pack is made to sync with your cycle. And so many of us know we need a cycle sync, but it seems impossible. You literally just take a pill a day, starting at the day of your cycle. It's a 28-day system, and each pill has exactly what you need for that moment in your cycle. I also do not go a day without the conception support pack and my PCOS formula, which has incredibly helped with my PCOS symptoms. Exclusively for Everything is the Best listeners, Parallel is offering a free gift with purchase. So the first 100 people that use this code will receive a free urinary tract support powder when you buy Parallel's conception support pack or a cycle support pack. So head to parallel.co, that's P-E-R-E-L-E-L.co, and use code PIAPODCAST to get your free gift.
Did you know you can tell the difference between a laboratory-grown diamond and a natural diamond? Laboratory-grown diamonds are mass-produced in factories in just a few weeks and are easily detected due to their distinct patterns. On the other hand, natural diamonds are over a billion years old and support the livelihoods of over 10 million people worldwide. The positive impact of natural diamonds is widespread. Around 80% of the value of every rough diamond remains in local communities and supports infrastructure, healthcare, education, and environmental protection. So next time you're thinking of celebrating a special moment in your life, remember that your natural diamond also protects vulnerable wildlife species and brings prosperity to many less fortunate communities around the world. For more information, visit naturaldiamonds.com. For years, I had, like, my mom would just be like, we're just hypoglycemic. So, like, those crashes are normal. And then I was like, I don't think it's normal to feel like you're going to pass out like that.
No. And
back to your survey, right?
Underlying disease or anything like that. And then, you know, this is another thing that you just said that gets dismissed a lot, I think, in women, but in patients in general. You know, in medicine, you're constantly taught to look at, like, the mean, right? Like, what is normal? What is within the normal range? But first of all, normal and optimal are two different things.
Totally.
The normal range today is based on an unhealthy population at large, like what the standard reference ranges are. So it doesn't mean that normal is optimal. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, people are different. So yeah. Some people just have, like, a slightly low, don't know why, there's nothing wrong with them. Their immune system works just freaking fine, but their white blood count will always show up a little bit below the normal range. And you can, like, do all these tests and all these things. And it's like, we as human beings, like, we come from different families. We come from different parts of the world. We have different microbiomes. We interact with the world differently. We eat different foods. So, like, the temptation in medicine to be like, everyone is the same and everyone should be the same doesn't allow for, like, okay, you have a family history of this. Mm. Maybe you don't have a disease. Maybe it's something, though, that you always need to have your orange juice and your protein ball, like, with you so that you always have something that can, like, bring your blood sugar back up.
What symptoms do women dismiss the most, like, most often that you could, like, grab someone by the shoulder and be like, you please need to come in and see us?
Weight gain, because weight gain is a sign of a lot of things going on. And too many women think it's my fault or get sort of on the dieting train.
Oh my God, that's what I've been spiraling. I've been like, I had that cake at that birthday party.
Yeah. And it's like, weight gain can be a sign of a blood sugar imbalance, a cortisol imbalance, a thyroid imbalance, chronic inflammation, like, the list goes on, right? And so if you know why you've gained weight and you're able to change that, then fine, then you don't, you know, but if you feel like you're really hitting a wall, there could be really something going on. And I think we're too quick to judge ourselves or try to diet our way out of that.
Wow, that's really good advice.
It's really important not to do that. I think another one is our hormones. I hear women a lot sort of say, like, this phrase I hear all the time, that makes no sense, everyone. I'm just going to be the one to tell you, I'm sorry, don't hate me. It's my hormones. Like, what does that mean? Is it your testosterone, your estrogen, your progesterone, your DHEA? Is, like, maybe it's not your hormones at all. I can't tell you how many women thought their bloating was their hormones, quote, their hormones. Again, this just amorphous basket of hormones. what is a hormone? It's like, I imagine this little round, like, person in a suit being like, I don't know. Like, what is that? First of all, we can test for these things. Second of all, women in menopause who think they're bloating, I had a patient who thought her bloating or the internet told her bloating was her menopause. And really she had what is now the number one cause of irritable bowel syndrome, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, also known as SIBO, which is really common today because we eat a lot of sugar and we take a lot of antibiotics and various things overgrow the bacteria in our gut. And that's a treatable GI issue. So if you're having bloating, acid reflux, intermittent constipation, or diarrhea,
I'm like, check.
40% of rosacea is actually caused by SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
Wow.
Brain fog. So in her case, right, she was menopausal, and we actually ended up giving her prescribing hormone replacement therapy, which has been largely underprescribed, and we prescribe it partially where it's appropriate, but we also treated her SIBO. So that wasn't a good example of where, like, quote, treating her hormones wasn't going to ever make her bloating go away. Mm. And so we need to kind of look at the whole person. So, but I hear a lot of women just be like, it's my hormones. I guess it's normal that my periods are a mess. I guess it's normal that my cycles are really irregular and painful. I guess it's normal. And they sort of ignore these things when your period is a vital sign. So if something is off with it, we want to look at that.
I had a family member over here a couple weeks ago, and another family member who is her daughter was talking to me about her period. And she was like, I can't even begin to track it. It's never been normal. It's super irregular. I'll go months without having it. And I said, that's extremely not normal. Because she's like, you know, I feel like this, I feel like that. And I was like, well, you should try to track your cycle and see where you are. And she was like, that's impossible. And her fucking mom said, my period is that way too. It's genetic. And I said, it's not genetic. I said, I'm not a doctor, but I know that that is not genetic. And she said, yes, it is. I never had a regular period. My period's all over the place. And I said, yeah, because you two live the same lifestyle. That's what's similar between the two of you.
Yeah.
I said, but this is not, I said, don't tell, I feel like an asshole because I'm like, I can't tell. What am I tell? Someone tells me about
no,
my
you're
daughter
not.
To
Someone
me.
Someone needs to tell them.
I know, but it's like, you know, you don't want, you can't say that to a mom that like she's dismissing, you know, it's like if somebody said that to me about Carmella, I would be like, ah. But I would also kind of be like, oh, I want to do right by my child. And I was like, just call me later and I can try to get, you know, I was like, let me listen to some podcasts or do a little bit, but I was like, you need to get way more in tune with your body. But it was such a funny moment to me. My mom and I talked about it afterwards because I was like, my mom was like, oh man, like, yeah, that isn't genetic. And I was like, but you know what, mom, there are so many things that my mom has done and said, like, she never knew to go deeper. She never knew about gut issues. She never knew about, you know, you just kind of live that way. And that's the generational stuff that becomes your lifestyle with your health that I think is really detrimental to people really wanting to like advocate for themselves and be like, it's not normal that I feel this way, you know?
Yeah. And that, I think, speaking of generational, there's a lot changing there, right? Like,
yeah,
of all the like ills of social media, I do think that younger generations are much more comfortable talking about their bodies largely. There's exceptions, yeah. Right? But having some of these conversations that, like, you know, even me growing up, like, my mom's generation would like never talk about
never
anything related to their period or sex or their, even just like their physical bodies in any way, shape or form was just sort of like an off limits topic. Right. And not all families are like that, but I think that is changing. And I hope it's changing because we have so much more information available.
How much have you learned from like a scientific standpoint about the things that affect our health that like aren't scientific, like stress and, you know, getting sunshine and all of those kinds of things?
I mean, the cool thing is now we have science behind all of that, right? Like, my book, State Change, is all about the physical drivers of anxiety, depression, fatigue, and how we know that the foods that we eat impact our brain. If you eat a high sugar diet, that creates a brain level inflammation, and that creates anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that I think we said, you know, aren't backed in science, like, not backed in science is often, not always, but often in medicine, a way of saying we don't understand it yet. I think psychedelics right now kind of fall into that camp. You look at the research that's happening at Johns Hopkins and other major medical institutions, NYU, and you're like, okay, this was like a very misunderstood field. And now we're in a new phase with it. And a lot is still to be figured out, right? But at least we're asking the questions. I think, though, that if you look at the data, 90% of our healthcare costs are due to chronic conditions, meaning conditions we live with for years or decades, not things like a cold or a flu or a broken leg. And of those, the vast, vast majority can be modified or reversed. And so people Well, how do you do that? Like 80% of them. And how do you reverse them or prevent them or turn them around? Food is number one, right? Like if you eat the SAD, the standard American diet, you will get the standard American diseases, period.
Wow.
And so like when we eat, it's information for our bodies. Genetics are largely just predisposition. So yeah, we'll set you up. Your genetics will set you up. But what actually happens is often a matter of what you just said about your family members, like living the same lifestyle or having the same environmental input. So the number one thing we try to tackle with everybody is food. And some people are doing great and awesome, and they're eating largely whole foods and non-refined and cooking their meals and watching you and following your cooking, you know.
I was talking to someone who was here sitting, and he's like, what are you eating? And I was like, I eat the same thing every day. I was like, I throw protein in bone broth. I add some rice and whatever vegetables I have. And he was like, that's really healthy. And I was like, it's also time efficient and affordable.
Yeah, exactly. Although this is like sort of an aside, but I realized today as I was getting ready for this podcast with you that on my like personal bucket list is we should do a wellness retreat in Italy. Mainly because I want to go to Italy with you. Because it looks so fun.
It's so fun. I mean, there's not a lot of wellness.
But I would disagree with that, right? If there's...
Well, the food, obviously, of course, but there's definitely, you know, it's like Davide has a cigar hanging out of his mouth the whole time. There's like 8 espressos a day and there's copious amounts of alcohol.
Well, we'll put those in a box for a second.
But I do always, you know, when I spend long periods of time there, I do feel really good. And I will say, Davide and I talk about it all the time, I have watched his face and body change significantly since he moved here and has had, because when we were dating, he would spend about half of his time there. And he's just a different, like we go to Italy and his body just right away, he's like within 3 days, he's like, oh, I just feel amazing. And as soon as he comes back here, he's just instantly, you can see these like dark circles come back and he's like, he's also growing up, you know, he's 35 when he was 27 when I met him. I mean, it's a different, our bodies were definitely different. That's a big change, but he is completely convinced that it's from the food. And it's the only, he was just as stressed with work. He was traveling more. It's the food is really like the common denominator there.
Yeah. Food is medicine. It isn't like medicine. It is medicine, period. Mm-hmm. And the foods that we eat here, you know, are typically calorie rich and nutrient poor, right? Like we'll get the calories, right? Which is important for survival, but we're not getting all of the nutrients, the phytonutrients that are coming from plants. All of those things are talking to our cells and giving them information. The quality of the animal protein here, like I eat fish, although I avoid the high mercury ones. So I avoid the tuna and the swordfish and some of the fish that have a lot of mercury, but I eat a lot of seafood otherwise. And I'll eat like, if I like your other doctor who like talked to you about the farm, like if it's really good quality beef, grass-fed animal protein, I'll eat some of that, right? But it's a condiment, right? It's not like my whole plate. It's not like a giant steak.
So what's an average day for you look like food-wise? Because if you're only eating certain kinds of, do you eat chicken?
I don't eat birds and I don't eat pigs.
And I understand why, but that won't be me.
Mainly like...
So how are you staying full? How are you having satiated,
it's a
delicious meal?
Ethical, right? So like the factory farming thing, I'm such like an empath and like,
yeah, same.
Heart bleeds too hard. Pigs are basically, I mean, the first man with a transplanted pig heart is like, did you see that news, is now alive and doing well. I'm like, pigs are super smart animals.
No,
I personally, no judgment on anyone. I personally can't handle eating them. And it's mainly... And poultry too, sort of the factory farming conditions that those two categories of animal are typically subjected to, I can't deal with.
No, I won't. I mean, there are times where my mom will be like, I was at Ralph's and I got, and I'll say to her, I will show you a video of how those animals are treated and you will never eat it again. It's not worth buying it because it was on sale. This is horror.
Yeah.
And it's sad because that's what, there's a McDonald's on every corner.
Our food supply. And my take is whether you're eating at, you know, fast food or all sorts of restaurants, nice restaurants, grocery stores, wherever you are in America, largely that is the meat supply.
Yeah.
And therefore, for me, it's just easier and like more convenient, honestly, to just say no than to try to like parse that, because I think it's like very difficult. Whereas like weirdly with grass-fed beef, I feel like at like my regular grocery store, I can like find that.
Yeah.
And so I don't eat gluten. I don't eat dairy other than butter and Parmesan. On the latter, it's because I break out. I was really bad the past couple of weeks, and I have this giant zit that I picked.
I eat low-fat cottage cheese and low-fat yogurt a lot.
If there's really good sources of dairy, meaning like A2 cows, or you know it's coming from.
Yeah, we only have A2.
Really good sources. And your body handles it well. Yeah. Awesome. My body, I have no digestive issues with dairy, but I've tried and tried again. I look back, I had a giant slice of pizza the night before my wedding, and I had this huge zit on my cheek the next day. And it was before I knew what I know now. It was like before
my God.
I needed emotional help. And I was like
why?
So vanity is a great motivator, but I either do just straight up espresso and I intermittent fast until 11. And then today I had like a quinoa bowl with roasted vegetables, beets, avocado, salmon in it. That was my like lunch, but I eat it at like 11 a.m. because I didn't have breakfast.
But everyone says that coffee on an empty stomach is a raging cortisol spiker, and to avoid it like the plague.
I'm fine.
You're fine with it. But it's just, again, yeah. It's like person to person, right? I mean, this
everybody's
is where we
a
have to
different.
Like,
listen, yeah. A lot of people are drinking like a giant extra large drip coffee, and drip coffee has much more like that. That spent a lot of time going through percolating actually has a lot more caffeine. So I have an espresso that I make at home. I have it at 7 a.m. I made my 6-year-old make it for me this morning.
Yeah.
Which is a life win. I was like, baby, will you make mama's espresso? He
That's
loves like
so
that.
Cute.
And I don't have sugar and things in it. If I am having breakfast, it's like eggs, or we make these like, we call them like paleo pancakes. I eat like a lot of carbs. Like I eat a lot of rice and, you know, starchy vegetables, potatoes, that type of thing. I've learned about my body that I actually can handle carbs as long as I'm having them with a lot of fiber, a lot of fat and protein. But what I won't eat is like refined stuff. So cookies, cakes, pretzels, crackers, anything that's pulverized into a flour and turned into that. That is what is so inflammatory in our diet. So those things are out. And then like today I had to run an errand, and then I was like hungry and I went by Juice Press or something. And then like a lot of those smoothies or sugar bombs.
Yeah, I am.
I had the tamari sprouted almonds. So I just grabbed a bag of those. Right. So it's like, you can find grab and go stuff if you're busy and you don't have time for a meal, if you know what to look for.
Yeah. I keep protein bars, and I love those Archer. I never thought I would be a girl who eats like a meat stick.
I was going to ask you, are you one of the jerky people?
I just got on the train. I like the Archer meat sticks, and I always have like a protein bar or like some sort of nut or something around me, and I do that when I'm going on a plane too, just so I make sure. Davide's like, once we get to the airport, he's like, pretzels, M&Ms. Like, I'm also like, that's why you don't feel good. Because you like,
people really like lose their minds at the airport. I've witnessed it. Like really health conscious people. Like, I mean, listen, if the Shake Shack line is not that long, I'm going to get the fries. Like, let's just be honest with ourselves. But do you know what the big new food trend that's happening right now? Have you encountered this yet? It's the tinned fish thing.
Oh my God. Yeah. So funny.
It's so funny. But the reality is those little sardines and little herrings and
stuff.
I get
into Carmella.
They're some of the healthiest things you could possibly eat.
I know.
We feed them to our 2-year-old too. He loves them. He's like covered.
Yeah, because it's cheap to get at Costco. You don't have to prep them. She smells like a Davide said, she smells like a fisherman.
Yeah. The smell gets to me, to be honest with you, a little bit, but like it is brain food, it is gut food, it's protein, it's fat. It's like everything good in the world is in one of those tins.
So before we depart, I think we should end with a few, and we started out the podcast with me asking kind of like, how do you manage yourself? But what are 3 non-negotiables in the day for you that are practices or routines or rituals that you know enrich your life and ultimately are leading to like better health for you?
I meditate in some form every day. And that could be just following my breath while I'm walking from school drop off to my office for 8 minutes. Like, it doesn't mean I'm sitting, you know, all with my hands in some position. Like it literally can be a walking meditation. Meditating at night before bed is like my favorite, because it just allows my brain to kind of begin to process the day and everything that's going on. And so I absolutely recommend it to all our patients. Like, I sleep better. I take, there's certain supplements that for me are really impactful. I have genetics. I have two copies of the MTHFR. Some people call it the motherfucker gene, but I, MTHFR variant, which impacts the way that you make serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine.
Oh, wow.
And when I take my methylated B vitamins and my methylated multi every day, I take my probiotics. I take lion's mane mushroom on that one, mainly in the hope that it's like connecting the synapses and making me smarter.
But so much good feedback about lion's mane.
Yeah, it's powerful. There's some really interesting research on it. But I take lion's mane. I take my methylated Bs, which are important for my mental health and my calm. I take magnesium. I take vitamin D3, K2, and probiotic. Like, that's my supplement regimen. It's pretty basic.
Yeah.
But it's like foundational. I don't take a lot of fancy other stuff, to be honest with you. Like, that's kind of it. So meditation, my supplement regimen, and then I don't know, foundational. I mean, food we talked about, but like,
yeah, then I think
I'm exercise is, to be honest with you, kind of fallen out the window for me with kids and work. It's really hard for me to get in the exercise that I need. And I think
you have to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning.
And I can't, you have to like peel me out of bed. But so eating well, like I just won't compromise that. So even if I have to walk a little further or wait to order something or suck it up and cook or do the grocery shop, just, I won't like grab something that's going to make me feel horrible.
Yeah. That makes sense.
What are yours?
Working out, going to hot yoga. I wish I could walk more, but those walks turn into me being on work calls. And when I walk a lot, everything in my body just goes like, you know, like it's, when I lived in New York, I didn't have to worry really about how much I was eating or what I was eating or anything, because I was walking so much. My body was just like, loved it and felt so good. So every week I'm like, this is the week I'm going to go on at least 2 long walks. And that never happened. So for me to get up and go to a hot yoga class, even if it's just like a power class where I'm just stretching, is really important. I need to start meditating. I'm bad. I need better like bed habits, because I'm on my phone a lot in bed. And I know it's bad. So I would like to, and I think it's because like all day I'm doing so much on my phone that I don't want to do. Like my days are so stressful. And I love just like zoning out on TikTok before I go to sleep. It really does. When you're on a very positive side of TikTok, you're just like, wow, like the average person is so funny, or like that funny thing happened in their house and it's so relatable, or the dogs, or or sweet stories, or like this or that. And you're just like, ah, the world, like for as horrible as it is, has like so much yumminess in it. You know, you like see this like little dip into people's homes and their worlds. And it's so, I mean, it's voyeuristic, but I think we've all reached that level of like voyeurism with each other's lives. And I'm like all for it. Like, I wish I lived in New York that had like windows open to the sidewalk so I could watch people and they could see what I was doing and I could talk to them. Like, I love that. So that's like my connection to like watching the internet in that way is like very much like my personality. But I think for me too, like having food all day long, you know, that's delicious. You know, having like bone broth and flax crackers with a couple eggs in the morning, like I just feel very satisfied and satiated. And I feel like the satisfaction I get from filling my belly with like yummy foods is really important to me.
It's also a time to nourish, right? And so much of our lives, I think, are depleting. Like work can be depleting, even being a parent. It both like completely fills me up and is everything. And then also like can be like completely exhausting. And it, like those two things are happening at the exact same time. I think that it's awesome that everyone says that. I'm not on TikTok mainly because I'm like, not sure I can handle
it. Platform.
But everybody says that there is this really positive side of it. And I think, which is awesome, because I think most of, and I put media in this category, both social and like newsfeed. Like I've been pretty addicted to the news lately, not for better, for obvious reasons. And it is, everything is so depleting. So like eating a good meal is like a, almost to me, like this like line in the sand, like I'm going to nourish myself through all of this. I'm not going to like also deplete myself with what I'm eating.
Yeah. Cause you can feel it so instantly. Oh, I also like bath time with Carmela, but also drop off and pick up. Like David and I fight over who gets to drop her off and pick her up, or we'll go together in two separate cars because we have like this thing to go. That just like dropping her off at school is a magical explosion of like a burst of love, or like picking her up.
It's just
like
a giant oxytocin bomb. Oh. Yeah. It's the best with my oldest and my youngest. Yeah.
God, I can't imagine having three, like, and you're just like, and then they can tell you so much about what they did that day, or like, you know, I'm just like, wow, this is it. Like, you know, having a baby is like so fun and cute, and so much happens from the time that they're these nothings, and then they're talking, and then they can walk, and then they're processing, and that's all really crazy. But then, you know, I feel like once they're like six, like that's just like a full person. Oh, and they are already when they're two, but like six, I just can't imagine the conversations you're having on a daily basis.
I mean, it's all over the place. They also know how to argue with you, negotiate, and like push back. Like he came home with this like really like ancient like 90s flip phone yesterday. And I'm like, where'd you get that, Dax? And he's like, they gave them out at the birthday party at school. And I'm like, tell me about this birthday party. So if I ask your teacher about the birthday party where they gave out the 90s flip phones, I'm just like, what is happening? But then he also like, he's really into chess, and he's been teaching me chess because I don't know how to play chess. I'm like too impatient of a person. So yeah, at a really early age, they like hit this fuller personhood than I thought. But the two is magic. Like my baby, I just like, I'm obsessed with him, and I just want to squeeze him constantly. And I'm very done. Like this is, I'm over and out for having more kids, but I am already finding myself like a little jealous of the people who still have babies ahead of them. Like a couple of my good friends are pregnant right now. And I'm like, oh my God, like you get the baby zone again. Like
I have friends who have three, and every time they see a younger child or someone's getting pregnant, they're just like, I can't believe I'm not going to go through that again. I'm like, it's so funny because it is something that's like so hard. But I think that moments like, I think that's just first of all, it's human design for us to continue to procreate. But I also feel like that's like God stuff, right? Where it's like, it doesn't matter how hard it was. Like there's just so much love there that you just want to keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, if I were like a little younger and had more money, like I'd probably have another kid. Like my husband and I are living with three kids and two dogs. Like I'm like, this is getting nuts, especially in New York. But I like get that feeling. And by the way, I am someone who, if you asked me 20 years ago, I would have told you that I would have one kid at like 42 and that would be it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm eternally shocked that I am this person. but I think it is. I think it just, once you're in that. So I'm excited for you for the next phase. How old is she? She's two.
She's two in a few months, like two and some change. It's adorable. Well, thank you so much. Actually, stay on because I want to chat with you for like 1 second about something, but I'm so thankful that you came on again today. I know how busy you are, and I know that it means so much to our audience. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I was super stoked for this.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes this week's episode of Everything is the Best. I hope you enjoyed it. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Maybe leave a comment. But remember, shitty comments are for shitty people. Go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Pia Barangini. And I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous rest of your day. Love you. Ciao.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.